Hi, everybody. Welcome to Babs Buzz. Again, I'm excited to be talking to you. It's been a very, very short month. It's been shorter than I would have liked. Somehow, when I know that I'm going to be getting ready for PitchFest, time, you probably had this happen to you when you have deadlines to meet, time tends to compress a little bit. And it gets closer and closer and closer to your deadline, and you always think, okay, what did I forget? And no matter how many checklists I have, I invariably end up misplacing a checklist. So this month I was preparing for PitchFest. Now, for those of you who don't know, PitchFest is a great way for people who do not have access to producers, directors, and agents, managers, can meet them directly and pitch your wares. That is to say, if you have a novel to pitch, or a TV show you want to pitch, or a reality show you want to pitch, or an indie film you want to pitch, or a short you want to pitch to get some traction maybe at the festivals, or a feature, this is the way you get in touch with folks who have access to those folks who know. And let me tell you, boy, do they know. The one I went to this time was Inktip's first Pitch Fest. Now, I have to tell you, anytime a Pitch Fest does this for the first time, it's always a challenge. Why? Because for that particular company, they have to iron out their kinks, you know, kind of during the process. It's really baptism by fire is what it is. But it's a great way for them to learn what they like, what they don't like, and what they'll do next time. But before I get to the actual day before, the day of, and the after the Pitch Fest, I want to tell you about what I did. I found, as you guys know, Ryan Lee. I found him on Simply Scripts. He was the one who won the Ahu contest, the Werewolves of London contest. That was so much fun. He pitched me a really funny short. I hope you read it. It's very witty. Then he sent me Beyond the Mountain. Now, I'm a big believer in visuals, so Ryan hired one of my writers, Jason Bortz, to do the one sheet for him. I'll get to that in a little bit. But let me tell you, Ryan's picture is now in front of 25 different companies, some big, some medium, some small. Does it matter? Maybe. Is it significant? Maybe. Is it worth it? Heck yeah. Because this is a guy who is reading scripts for a living. He works for a producer. He's really sharp. He's trying to get his, you know, feet wet writing. And he reads and reads and reads and reads and reads. I can tell you from all this reading, guys, gals, it's paid off. This kid knows how to write. And he's only in the beginning of his career. Well, I was all very, very proud to take a Simply Scripts screenwriter to Pitch Fest with me. It was an absolute honor to take Ryan's script over there with me. All right, so let's talk about the day before Pitch Fest. I'm not going to tell you about my personal prep. I might sprinkle in a couple of commercials for my client here and there, and I do hope you indulge me because I think you might learn from it. I know I did. I learned a ton. So you get to Pitch Fest the day before the actual event is check-in. You register, you schmooze, there's usually a party, but mostly for you guys and for me, there's a ton of classes. Oh my gosh, all these professionals who've been there, done that, in the trenches, out of the trenches, celebrities, famous producers. I mean, the list goes on. Some of them are very big, some of them are very middle, some of them are very small. In my opinion, there are no small anybody. Everybody brings something to the table and it's such a joy. Well, the day before the Pitch Fest is your opportunity to get to know other attendees, which is a lot of fun. You get to know the lay of the land, which is always a drag because nobody knows where they're going and everybody's bumping into everybody. So the important safety tip there is I tell everyone in my class when I teach to bring a lot of Tic Tacs and to wear flats if you're a girl. Don't wear heels. You'll be so sorry that you did. So the day before, you'll have usually back-to-back classes. And what you'll do is prior to the event itself, you'll get your schedule, you buy a ticket, it's $400, $500, $600, whatever. You know, they vary. They have different, you can Google, by the way, you guys, Pitch Fests, and you'll see like Fade In has one, and there's one in Los Angeles, I can't remember the name of it, it's a big one, it's Creative Screenwriters, I think, throws it, and then there's Inktip now, a Great American Pitch Fest is fabulous. I mean, the list goes on. You go to the ones that you can make. You don't have to go to 10 of them. You can go to one a year. Just pick one that you like or try a couple of different ones to see which is the best fit for you. I like Great American Pitch Fest very much, but I'll tell you, Inktip did something really smart, which I'll get to in a minute. So the day before the event, you have all these classes to choose from, and I have to tell you, what you can learn in 1 hour or an hour and a half of the Q&A is mind-boggling. One of my writers, Jason, I talk about him all the time, he sits there and he goes, I can't believe I asked this one question and this answer made so much sense. So you never know what you don't know what you don't know. So it's really a fun thing to actually try to get as much information from these folks as possible. And I think you'll find Some of them may have books to sell, which is great. You can buy a book and take it with you. Sometimes they'll sign it. Sometimes there's no time to do that. It just really depends on who is on first base. Okay, now, so you've got that going. You pretty much know the lay of the land by now. You've stepped on enough feet. You've seen enough faces. And you're now, you have a little sort of get together with your friends in the lounge or whatever. And now you're in your own huddle. And you're kind of preparing, as you know, based on last month's show, how to prepare for Pitch Fest. Now, a lot of people think they're supposed to sell a scripted Pitch Fest. That's unlikely. It's probably not going to happen. You're throwing darts, like I said. Well, the day of, what happens is everybody gets in a line. So there'll be a line, let's say, for Universal, a line for After Dark, a line for me, Silver Batella Agency, WGA. You get this list beforehand, and you stand on a line from 1 to perhaps 100, and you're in queue. Then the runners or the models, they usually have models there because they're trying to get, you know, attention too. They bring their headshots and they work for free, and the runners work for free. And by the way, the runners at Inktip were phenomenal. Wow, they went above and beyond. Anne in particular was just a real help. Gatto was great. Jared is my movie marine, up and down, left and right. The guy is untouchable. It's just common sense on display. Okay. So as you're watching these runners, what they are doing is they are basically organizing chaos, and it's hundreds of people. I mean, it's just insane. And the celebrities don't know where they're going. The producers don't know where they're going. And nobody really knows where they're going. They just sort of follow the crowd, you know? So you're waiting in these lines. Let's say, for example, 1 to 100. So you got Universal, Paramount, whoever's showing up. The runners will stand at the head of each line. The caller or someone like a dispatcher almost will on walkie-talkie say, "On deck." One person from each line, 1 to 65, will go into a hole, like a sort of a little huddle. Then they will open the doors and they will go enter, and you go in and everybody goes to the number that they were waiting on line, which corresponds to a table number inside this massive grand ballroom. Okay. And you get 5 minutes to pitch. Let me tell you what Inktip did right that I think is brilliant. Now, if this has been done before, I have never seen it, but it was brilliant. I told Gatto so when I stole him away for 2 seconds. The guy looked like a Fed with his thing in his ear and his microphone and his sunglasses. It was really, really great. It was top drawer. It just kept it very classy. But anyway, he looked like a cop. So he's running around the floor, and I said to him, "You know what you did right? I'm going to tell you." He had at my table, table 65, two other companies. So you're not just pitching me. You're pitching a producer and a producer manager, and you just don't know where that can lead. Now, the good news is I got to network with two industry professionals sitting next to me, to the left of me, and then three individuals to the right of me, and then three in front, three behind. It was really great. I got to, you know, actually talk to some people, because usually at these things, producers, directors, and agents and managers don't really get to talk to other professionals because we're too busy hearing pitches. That's why we're there. So I sit down, a lot of fun with these two people. I met Christy from Raw, and I met Rob from Dune. And I have to tell you, totally approachable, extremely pleasant, smiling. I mean, you got to love it. You got to love it. Of course, I taught a class the day before, by the way, which was packed, and it was a joy. And I learned a lot from the people that were actually asking me questions. It was very interesting to learn. I learned a lot from people who asked me questions in my class. It's kind of interesting because it prepares me for the next class. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting at the table with these two people, and a guy sits down, and he was in my class. He thanked me very much. And the two people next to me are listening to this guy pitch, and he did what he's supposed to do. He said, "Let me tell you how I came up with this idea. I went to Brazil, and I was on vacation, blah, 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 blah." Now, I have to tell you, in my opinion, 5 minutes is too long for a pitch, but I can see why they do it, because it's a round number, not even. It's a round number on the clock. At 4 minutes and 15 seconds in, again, something else Inktip did really, really well. They dim the lights. I don't know if any other pitch fests do this, but the pitch fests I've been to, some obnoxious bell, cowbell, or horn is way in the back, and it freaks everybody out. So they dim the lights, and I thought, I have to tell Gerald how discreet that was. It was just brilliant. And Gerald is the guy who owns and runs Inktip with his team, and the guy is just a gem. He's just a gem. He's just the nicest guy you want to meet. Shook his hand. I thanked him for helping my company, because he really does help us a lot. by getting these writers in front of us. And he said thank you. You know, it was really, really nice. So they dim the lights at 4:15. So now you got 45 seconds to wrap it up. In my opinion, by then, you should be saying, do you have any questions for me? May I send the script? Almost everyone will ask for a synopsis or a leave behind, which I'll get to in a minute. Then we'll take the one sheet or the leave behind, the one sheet's with the picture, and the, as you know from last week, and then the leave behind is a synopsis, and we'll take that and we'll save it for follow-up. Then, if we want, we will give them our email and invite them. In my case, my company's protocol, we do not waver from this. We want coverage. We want a beat sheet. If we like your pitch, that's what we want. That's what we need. That's what Ed Silver, my boss, wants. He is my boss. He says, jump. I say, how high? So I take care of that with beat sheet and the coverage, and we go through it one by one, and we see which ones we like, and we go through them. If you don't hear from us, obviously it's a pass. It's just not for us. But to hear these people come in and tell these stories, oh, my gosh. One woman sat down, pitched us four times. Her name was Barbara. This woman's, I think, a biochemist. She is so brilliant, so articulate, so adorable. She's this tall blonde, I think, if I remember correctly. And Barbara, if you're listening to the show, sorry if I don't get this right. She had 14 award-winning screenplays. She could not get arrested. And the reason why I think that she wasn't getting any traction is because she had so many genres to choose from. She didn't really know where she wanted to actually focus. But I have a feeling that that's going to change, because I think she made a very significant dent with a lot of people. Now, here's the $64,000 question. Can she write? It's one thing to win and place in contests, which is lovely. It's hooray. It's absolutely lovely. I think it's great. But a marketable script has to be something that really invites actors to want to do the roles, invites directors to want to shoot it, and invites producers to think that they, in fact, can get the money to get it done. And that's where the rubber hits the road, because the talent brings, producers bring the talent brings the cash, the, that whole package goes to the packaging department at, you know, Universal, and then you're locked and loaded for your actual picture to hopefully be greenlit and distributed. So, in the end, I don't know what this particular woman's thing is or where she's been, but boy, oh boy, does she have a portfolio to choose from. And so does my client, Jason. Which brings me to the red card. I can't tell you how proud I was to be sitting at my table. Now, when you let me get talk about the red card. If we're listening to a pitch that we like and we want to keep talking to this person or actually keep listening to this person, we will take the red card that's on the table and stick it in our in this sort of tall stand that's on our table that has our number on. It's kind of like a wedding, you know, 65. There's the number 65. We put the red tag on the number 65. It covers the number. The runners know that whoever is in queue outside waiting on deck has to wait until we're done with this particular pitch. And I looked up at least once and possibly twice, but when I talked to my client, Jason Bortz, later, he said to me, oh, I was red carded at least three times. What that tells me is a couple of things. Number one, he was on his game. Number two, he went to the right people. And number three, he had leave behinds that were drop dead dazzling. And I have to tell you, I heard about this from other producers. Let me tell you why. Jason didn't even know he could do this, really. I mean, he knew he was into graphics and he was very skilled at it. And I am going to give him a commercial right now because he deserves it. He usually charges $500 to $100 for these posters, these movie posters that he does for people who really want their picture made and want to get a visual kind of thing across. And I have to tell you, he makes movie poster quality. But he charges for my clients $100. I think for people that are through Simply Scripts, he gives a discount too. But unbelievable works art. You could hear people go, oh, ooh, ah. It was quite lovely to see that kind of talent appreciated. It was great. My other client, Tanya, who was a volunteer at this thing, oh, this chick was on her game. I mean, you needed something, she got it. She pitched our clients our entire portfolio. She pitched 25 companies in one afternoon. She was rocking. We left one sheets. We had synopses for these folks. We had our clients actually put together this wonderful, I want to call it a montage. It was an 8x10 picture, if you can picture this. It's a one sheet of six titles with six little thumbnail imprints of the movie. So Bloom, there was a flower, Laser Bladers, there was the cast. Tango Down was a guy in the desert with a gun. Bell Ringer has a flag, Brother Mozart has this beautiful stand, and so on. Lynn's Nurse Shark with this, I told you about this, the hypodermic, fabulous, vacant land. Oh my gosh, the one sheet for that is gorgeous. It's a guy standing with a sunset. It's absolutely beautiful. Our company got a ton of attention because of these beautiful, respectful representations of films the way they were envisioned by the writers. It was so cool. I can't tell you what an impression these one sheets make. I highly recommend them. But hey, if you don't have the money, you don't have the time, don't have the skill to do it, and you don't want to hire someone, don't worry about it. Because in my bag, I have 30 synopses. You know, I mean, I'm going to call these people, read these over. If I'm interested, I'm going to ask for the beat sheet and the coverage. So that's the day of. So you've got your prep the day before with the classes, your day of, you do your pitch. Here's the challenge with people like us. Once we eat lunch, and I mean this, I really do, the Mexicans have the right idea. Everybody wants to siesta. It's just unavoidable. All of a sudden, the food kicks in. The energy of the day sort of hits critical mass. The coffee wears off, and there you go. The people who pitch in, a lot of professionals will leave in the afternoon. So if you can, I highly recommend you do your best pitches for your most favorite companies in the morning. And I don't mean any disrespect to the companies who leave, because I wanted to leave. And I know why I wanted to leave. It's simple. I'm human. I was tired. But it meant more to me to actually sit and see if I could and hear and really hear, you know, get in there and hear what someone was telling me about their story. I had one woman who pitched me her own story, and she actually almost started to cry, and I could hear why. The story was quite lovely. An impossible long shot, but so what? I mean, you know what? I tell these people in my class, and I'm going to tell you two again, live your life. If you don't sell your movie, so what? Keep plugging along. You don't know. If I can trap lightning, maybe you can trap lightning. So the day of the pitch fest is a lot of fun. Tanya was running around. Jason's running around. All of my clients were pitched to the top companies by these folks. We had, you know, these two folks, Tanya and Jason, representing my company. Of course, I was able to interact with them very heavily, do the grip and grin, find out what people were really looking for. I met a lovely new producer I'd never met before. She was just delightful, Sherry from Rob, and I had a really great time. Now, post pitch fest, you really have to be on your game, because when people give you stuff, you got to know what to do and how to do it. So they'll say to you, send me a beat sheet, send me the coverage, here's my email. You've got to really keep track of your material, because what happens is as soon as you sit down, as soon as you're done, you got to go back out there and get online for your next company. So you really have to be organized. I do not recommend, again, I'm going to tell you this, I'm a big believer in this, don't bring a laptop to pitch. Jason did the right thing. Tanya did the right thing. Lynn Christensen did the right thing. Robert Powers did the right thing. These folks brought one sheets, which I have to explain this to you. We see so many people that to create this visual is quite lovely. Even if they pass, they will not forget what we presented. And in the end, the whole idea is really, you're actually trying, as a writer, you're trying to do commercials for yourself. I mean, I saw my writers a couple of times pointing over to me going, I could see them saying, yeah, my agent's sitting over there. She's WGA. You should talk to her. You know, she's whatever. Now, why am I at Pitch Fest? I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to pay it forward. People seem to enjoy my classes. I learn from them. I like to teach. I seem to be very good at it. But why aren't you at Pitch Fest? Why aren't you there competing? I heard a guy say, they better not touch my work. They better not change one word. And a writer was smart enough who took my class to turn around and say to that guy, you picked the wrong industry. This is not for you. And the guy was very offended. But the truth of the matter is, I have to be honest with you, he actually did him a favor when he did that. Why? He probably saved him a lot of time, a lot of trouble. Will he heed that warning? No. Hopefully he'll learn what rewrites are, how to do them, and do them well. So post-pitch fest is just as important as pre, because you're going to send thank you notes to people who were very nice to you. You're going to send emails to people who want to see your material. You're going to continue to remain professional. And if you never hear from them again, you chalk it up and you do what? You wait till next year. And in the meantime, you do your writes, you do your rewrites, and you take care of your writing business. Now, I had a gal flew in from New York. She's very, very nice. When I hear a good pitch, I don't know if anybody else does this at the table. I think they do. By virtue of the red card going up, that's the highest compliment you can get, because what you're saying is something that they want to hear. And as you can hear, my voice is a little tired from all the pitching and all the teaching and all the hearing. And I'm just tired from the hours I put in, because it's a net loss for us in terms of, you know, we're not really as productive as we could be, but we are very, very productive as we want to be. And a couple of my clients were really very well received. Their portfolios were well received. So now I, as an agent, I have to take all of the people that we pitched and I have to follow up with them. I got to work the phones, got to work the email, got to work the fax. Happy to do it. But again, why aren't you there? I mean, think about this for a minute. Spend all this time and money writing, buy the software, you're doing your dance, you're making a little love, you're getting down tonight, and oh, I don't want to go to Pitch Fest because I'm just too shy. That's okay. Bring a friend. We had a guy, he said to me point blank, I'm not very good when I speak. I tend to stutter and misstep. My partner is going to pitch for me. Is that okay if we go in as a team? Oh my God, I couldn't hug this guy hard enough. He was adorable. He was absolutely the sweetest thing you want to meet. And a guy came in from Poland. I don't know if he was living in Poland. Frankly, I really don't. But he was Polish. And his name is Paul. He was very nice. He misunderstood what he was supposed to be doing, what was expected of him. And his English was quite challenged. And so, of course, hearing things didn't translate well. So I took him aside and I went up to Gatto and I said, Gatto, look, if you can give this guy a little help, just keep an eye out, make sure he gets treated right, because he doesn't know what he doesn't know, you know what I mean? Because of the language barrier. And he introduced Powell to some of the runners and some of the models. And these people volunteer, and they are so cheerful and so gracious and so generous with their time. I mean, I was just beaming. I was absolutely beaming. You could see, though, in the afternoon, it was actually just starting to take its toll on people. People were getting a little tired. I'm not a big eater during the day anyway. I pick, you know, I'm one of those noshers. And the one day that I really should have kept to that, I didn't do it. So in the afternoon, I'm looking at Christy next to me and I'm looking at Rob and the three of us are going, oh no. And so of course we're up and getting coffee trying to just, you know, stay alert. But to be honest, we heard some of our best pitches in the afternoon. It seemed to have the counter effect on the writers. Some of them seemed to do really well when they had a little food in them. It seemed to kind of sedate them a little bit, but not too much. It seemed to calm them just enough to take the edge off. Or by then, probably, they had a lot of practice. I mean, you know, they're two gals, actually maybe up to four of them, had memorized pitches. To me, that's absolutely the smartest way to go. I mean, if you're going to go in there and start talking to people that you don't know, why not memorize your pitch? I'm a big believer in Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. If you want to vamp, good. Vamp. One of the gals said to me, she sat down and it was before Christy and Rob sat down. She said, listen, I don't really want to pitch you because I know I can't get an agent. I know I can't. But, do you think I might be able to actually get produced, you know? And I said to her, you never know. Pitch me anyway. And so what if I say no? I'm one agent. There's hundreds of them. There's wonderful companies, Gersh, Paradigm, you know, Million Morris. I'm one of the smaller boutique agencies, and that's just because of where we're located. We're in Northern California. But we are so busy. As soon as I got home, boom, deal memo from a producer, one of my writers. We're getting ready to get funds. So, I mean, the circle's turning. It's always spinning. The merry-go-round is always running. As long as there's electricity, it's going. One of the things I like about this business is some of the surprises that we see. And one of them was a guy I hadn't seen in a while who did a wonderful documentary called My Run, Mark Staldo. He was there looking for pictures. He was telling me what he's working on. The guy's got a New York sensibility, but I'll tell you, I just wanted to wring his nose. He's kind of quirky. But in the end, the thing to remember about Pitch Fest, which I really want you to take away from all this, is that you can up your game with a one sheet. You can up your game with a synopsis. You can learn a lot from people around you. You can maybe bless someone or grace someone with your presence there. They may learn something from you they didn't know before. And I mean, my gosh, this is sort of, we're all kind of like, it's, we're all cosmic bumper cars. So isn't that what it's all about? Us sharing information and trying to, you know, high tide raises all boats. My hope for you guys is that when you, when I do finally meet some of you at maybe Pitch Fest, you come to one of my classes, or when you shoot me an email, tell me what you think of this show that I did. I know it was very specific, but I think it's good that you hear about all this, that you go to a Pitch Fest and really enjoy the process. So what if you don't get an option? So what if you don't sell anything? Look, Inktip's going to be there. Everybody reads Inktip. They can deny it all they want, but they do. Inktip is successful. They're doing it right. They're keeping it real, and their earnest goal, what the thing they want to do to their core is they want to see you succeed. And that's how they stay in business. So if you have a successful story, which I hope to have in a couple of weeks for them, if you have a success story based on the virtue of their Pitch Fest, well, great. Now, I will tell you this. A lot of people are going to complain about Pitch Fest, whether it's Great American, Inktip, doesn't matter who. Why? Because at the time, I'm told by a woman who had children, I've never had children, she says, it's a lot like childbirth. While you're in it, you hate it. But when it's over, you kind of feel blessed. So my hope is that if you do get these kind of birth pangs, if you do go to these things and you hate it during the process because it's chaotic and unorganized and you got to sit and you got to get up and you got to stand and you got to move and you got to wait online, that in the end, what you end up with is something so wonderful that you try to focus on the good points of what you've done, what you've learned, and what you've accomplished as a writer. Remember, you've got to live your life. One of the things as writers tell me all the time is they're so delighted that they can at least get outside themselves and use it as therapy. Well, when I write pitches, it's very therapeutic for me because I'm standing in the wings like a little, you know, nurse, like a little mother hen clapping for that's my client out there. I can't be more excited than that. It's just, there's nothing like it. So remember, when you're online at these things, I know they're terrible. Try to make the best out of them. Be friendly to other people. Be nice to other people. And participate in Pitch Fest. I give Inktip, out of 4 stars, a hearty 3. I know they had their challenges. I know there were things that could have gone better for them. But from where I sat, from what I heard, and from what I saw, they did all right. This is Babs for Babs Buzz, signing off, reminding you to write, reminding you to rewrite, and reminding you once again to live your life. Peace.